Welcome to the Generation Podcast, an audio resource dedicated to a generation of young people who are committed to total surrender to God and total dependence on His power to reach the world with the gospel of Christ. This podcast is designed to strengthen and encourage through a series of Bible-based practical talks. Do you sometimes struggle to give the gospel because you don't really believe that it will be accepted? Today, we learn that in light of the gospel's power to save, every believer should be confident in its message. Join Dr. Van Gelderen as he tells of the life-giving gospel that knows no limits.
Welcome to the Generation Podcast. This is Jim Van Gelderen, and I'm broadcasting from Englewood, Florida. Perhaps some of you that are up north are experiencing some colder temperatures. I kind of hate to tell you this, but I've been enjoying some 80-degree weather down here. However, I do kind of relate with some of you because I was up there in Michigan at 22 degrees on Wednesday morning when I flew down here to Florida after being at the Michigan Revival Conference for a few days. Well, it's good to join you here via this podcast for a few moments. And I know many of you have perhaps been thinking about and concentrating on the 21-day challenge, which has now ended. And of course, our challenge is to consider the importance of giving the gospel at every opportunity that God gives you. And I just want to kind of just throw in something here to might be an encouragement, something that sometimes we know, but we need to be reminded of. And that's a simple verse in Romans chapter 1, verse number 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You know, for almost 35 years now, I've had the privilege of preaching the gospel to teenagers almost every week, particularly during the school year. And I have certainly been struck over these years, time and time and time again, with the power of the gospel. You know, young person, the power is in the message. It is in the truth of the good news that although men are sinners headed to hell and we deserve every bit of judgment, Jesus died in our place, shed his blood, rose again, paid the awful price of our sin. And if you'll trust him, he'll save you. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And what a wonderful truth that is. But the power is in the message. The gospel doesn't need help. It just needs to be proclaimed. Sometimes today people compromise, trying to help the gospel out, get people to consider the gospel. But you don't need to do that. You see, the power is in the gospel. And I want to just encourage you with this emphasis on being soul conscious. Is sometimes we get worried about our own speech, our own abilities. But remember this. The power is in the message itself, just proclaiming Christ crucified, the truth of the gospel. It's so simple. Men are sinners, hellbound, need Jesus. He died for us, shed his blood, rose again. It's not hard. You could probably learn how to give the gospel in 60 seconds in some ways. Obviously, we need to explain it and be clear, but the point is it's a simple message. It's profound. It's powerful. That's the point, the power of God unto salvation. I just want to encourage every young person listening. Don't focus on your abilities or inabilities for that matter. Focus on the power of the message. And just be willing to not only ask the question, but if someone shows interest, just to briefly explain what the gospel is. Quote some Bible verses that explain these wonderful truths. But I want to just touch you with this. When you give the gospel, you will begin to learn that the power is in the message. The power is unbelievably in the message. I remember, even as a little boy, beginning to be struck with this. There was a man in our church that I knew was a gangster at one time in his life. I moved to Chicago at 6 years old. My dad became the pastor of the Marquette Manor Baptist Church on the south side of Chicago at 60th in California on that south side. And I soon became aware that there was a man in the church, a very well-respected man, a big man, and he had a double chin, and he had the Chicago accent, just like you'd imagine. But he was a godly man, and I heard him twice as a boy to crowded auditoriums where you sense the presence of God, give his story of how God changed his life. And although from a young boy he was in trouble with the law, in fact, at 9 years old, I remember him telling he was already in trouble with the law. His parents were rich, had a lot of money, but they evidently did not parent him, and he became a juvenile delinquent, going from reformatory to reformatory and then to prison. And evidently toward the end of his teenage years, when he got out of prison, he joined up with the most powerful criminal of that era, a man in Cicero, Illinois, by the name of Al Capone. Old Scarface, they called him. Boy, old George Mensick, that's the man I'm talking about there at Marquette Manor. He had his stories about the mob days, and of course he never glorified it, but he talked about those days when he was away from God and didn't even know the gospel. And he married a woman and a girl, and of course, the home was probably more like a nightmare, and into that home was born a little girl. And I don't know where along the line, but the wife got saved, and the little girl got saved at the Marquette Manor Baptist Church and began to pray for their daddy and husband. And George Mensick, as a gangster, would sometimes just get out of town. Of course, his wife really didn't know what he did, just knew it was different because he couldn't really pin him down on what his livelihood was, but he had always had plenty of money. But sometimes things get a little tight, and police would be getting a little too close to figuring out what's going on, and the mobsters just blow town, go to a secret hideout, and he would never tell his wife, so many times he didn't come home. And it was one of those times he'd have gone for 3 days, and after 3 days of partying and living in sin, he came home and stumbled home to a Chicago bungalow, and he came in with one intent. He had evidently, in his condition, had decided to kill his wife and his daughter. It's an unthinkable thought, but I remember him telling the story. You could hear a pin drop as he talked about walking into that house and going to the little girl's bedroom, opening her door, pulling out the gun, putting it in both hands, and aiming it at her. She was leaning over the bed, and she was praying. I remember she was praying something like this: "Oh, God, please save my daddy. My daddy's a wicked man. I don't even know where he is. God, please save my daddy. He's going to hell. He's been gone for 3 days now. Oh, God, please save my daddy." You know, friend, don't ever underestimate the prayers of little six-year-old little girls. And God heard that prayer. That old hardened criminal got through to his heart. He went downstairs. God was all over him. Finally went down to the Marquette Manor Baptist Church on the corner of 60th and California, walked in to talk to the preacher. The preacher had no idea he was dealing with a second lieutenant in Al Capone's mob, but he sat down. You know what he preached to George Mensick that day? The gospel. He preached to that hardened criminal. Men are sinners going straight to hell. Jesus loved them, died on the cross, shed his blood, and rose again. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that day, the power of the gospel broke that hardened criminal's heart. A man who had done things that are unspeakable, things that I can only think he inferred. But when you think of a mobster and think of some of the terrible things they do, probably George Mensick had done them. That old hardened criminal got on his knees. And you know, my friend, he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus saved him. When he got off of his knees, he was a changed man. That gospel is powerful. Here's a hardened criminal. And it was not long, my friend, before he left the mob, and amazingly, the mob never touched him, never bothered him. They saw the true transforming power of God in his life. And he became a preacher and give his testimony first all across Chicago and churches, then became a preacher. And he loved to preach, particularly in prison. Oh, how many times he'd preach in prison. And when he died in 1973, I think it was into the 20s, of men he had led to Jesus Christ who were behind bars, who had gotten out of prison and become gospel preachers. Yes, an amazing man, a man that God greatly used. But here's the point. The point isn't George Mensick. The point is the power of the gospel. The gospel has power, young person. Don't ever forget it. And you may not realize that you're talking to a hardened son or hardened man or woman, but the gospel's the power of God and the salvation. So have you been a little timid, a little scared, perhaps the podcast a couple of times ago on Be Bold encouraged your heart? But let me encourage you, the power is in the message. The gospel just needs to be declared. So learn the gospel, and friend, don't worry. Just give the gospel and trust the message to be powerful and the Holy Spirit who can enable you to empower you as you give it. It's a wonderful thing. So I just wanted to encourage you in that, young person. And remember, as you're walking through life, to be totally surrendered to the will of God. He tells you to talk to somebody, do it. And then total dependent on not only the power of the Spirit, but the power of the message he's given us to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Generation Podcast. For more faith-inspiring resources and information about joining The Generation, please visit thegeneration.org. That's T-H-E-E generation.org.